شكرا.
شو الأخبار يا عيال؟ واضح إنكم يعني لازلتوا يعني خارج الصديد. How's your weekend, Turks؟
خارج إيش؟
خارج مين؟
خارج الصديد.
Yes.
Alright. إذا عندك خارج صديد روح شوف دكتور لو سمحت. لأن يبغالك مرحم.
You should get that checked.
يبغالك مرحم.
Yeah, like you know what صديد is.
Okay, what was the phrase I was trying to say then?
I don't know.
No, what is صديد?
It's a pus.
Pus.
Different
pronunciation. Very okay. Different pronunciation. But subtle difference, but major implications.
So this is like data and data.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's okay. Not.
Is it data or data? But anyways, Turks, how was your weekend?
It was chill. It was nice.
وينك ما شفناك يعني صار لك كم من يوم مختفي.
يعني أدور غيركم.
How did that go? How did that go? طيب.
والله quite fun, alhamdulillah.
Did you find them?
Okay.
That's why I started.
كانوا غيركم وكان أحسن alhamdulillah.
I don't believe that's possible.
I do.
Hello.
Watch Turks.
I do.
Watch Turks.
أنت برضو لقيت غيرنا؟ ما دورتنا في الويكند.
Hey, welcome past the capsule. It's your boy Adam. What's popping? Episode 195. Got the home materials from behind me. I got Champs right next to me. I got this number one in the building.
Nothing matters.
Your boy has the flu, so I'm way under the weather.
Salamat.
And I feel like complete crap. And so, this is going to be a slow-ass episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, we start off with Uncle Shamsi. How are you, Uncle Shamsi?
Alhamdulillah.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you
congrats,
so much.
Congrats to the sister.
Thank you
and
so
the
much.
Husband.
And the husband.
And your husband.
And the whole family.
And the whole family.
The new grandma and grandpa.
Yes, well. Yes.
The first grandchild.
Hey, everyone leveled up.
Everyone leveled up. Yeah.
The first grandchild. Yes. And the first uncle. I don't know how that means.
Any honestly?
You were born an uncle.
Yeah, I was an uncle when I was a fetus.
Exactly. Okay.
So you came to the world with nieces and nephews to take care of.
Yes.
Okay. Package.
Yes.
It's a very weird feeling for me. And I do realize, in the sense of responsibility lies nowhere near me.
Oh, exactly. No, what about to say?
Okay, like the sense of responsibility is nowhere near me, but nonetheless, I do feel like an obligation to uphold
what
the uncleness, whatever that means.
What does that mean?
And you're supposed to be a cool uncle that teaches.
No,
them
you're
cool
going
to
be
things.
The weird uncle.
You're the weird. Okay, Shamsi.
Gives them passion.
You're not the cool anything.
Really?
Okay. You tried to be the cool brother, didn't work. Okay, you tried to be the cool friend, didn't
it worked
work.
For a little bit.
No, it didn't.
Okay, there was a period of time between March and April 2014, you know, where it worked. I believe it's March 29th and April 3rd.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's only 4 days.
So in every journey, you aim for the hiccup before the downfall.
I'm just looking at the positives, you know.
What major role does your uncle play in your life right now?
When I look at it,
I ask you a question, Champs. Don't run away.
That's sure. I look at it when I was
Champsy,
a kid. Okay.
I ask you another question again.
Hey, you are.
What does your uncle play in any role in your life right now?
Today?
Today.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Because I'm in.
And that's going to be your role with that kid.
Hey,
it's going to be nothing.
When I was a kid.
هذا خالي.
كان يطلع نشبة. يودينا نجيب أشرطة فيديو نشتري سمك.
حلو.
So it's activities يعني.
Oh, you're going to take them to go buy سمك.
يعني that's one option.
First off, انت ما قد احتاج سمك في حياتك.
مع عمي I did. Back in those days. Okay. No, but see, okay, if he, like, I feel like you're supposed to be the cool uncle that does cool things with them just to get them out of the family, you know, the parent dynamic.
You have a couple of tropes that you can aim for.
There we go.
Okay.
Yes.
You have the cool uncle trope, hey, which you're trying to target.
Yes. Yeah.
But يعني, I hope you don't. I knew you might fail miserably.
I'm just going to do it with books.
You will.
Books are not very cool.
Respect.
Yeah.
What is respect?
Yeah, you change your specifications. Yeah,
yes.
Level up differently.
Yeah.
Sounds like gaming terminology.
Exactly.
You should not be a cool uncle today.
Okay, why not?
Not you specifically, Annie. Because being a cool uncle today doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, like because
nothing is cool?
No, because everything is available.
Exactly. Yeah.
Back then, nothing was available. So the uncle would teach you something that wasn't there.
No, but you see, you can still be the cool uncle that speaks the lingo.
I don't think I understand the lingo anymore. I think I'm far from the lingo.
Listen, watch some Lululemon. What was it called? Right. Not what? Lululemon.
Cocomelon.
Watch some Cocomelon. you're going to find out. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Here's the thing. You could have been the cool uncle if the babies were born like 30 years ago. And you could be the cool uncle like, hey, عندي أشرطة مصارعة. تبون تشوفون مصارعة. That could have been the criteria.
Or like, you know, comic books. كذا عندي كتاب Superman comic books.
Yeah, they can find that online now.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to explain to you.
No. You guys are not understanding it. They don't have someone to talk about comic books with at home.
Not yet.
That's why the cool uncle
is there.
Can still survive.
There's a thing called
the by the way, this is a setup for failure in every single way.
I just
hold up.
As a person with nephews and nieces,
do you have?
Yes,
exactly.
I have. Okay. That's what I'm trying to fucking tell you.
Okay,
it doesn't work.
How do you treat with them? How do you deal with them? What do you provide?
I don't.
Oh, Manjid?
At all, I don't.
Okay.
I give them gum.
Backflips. When I'm there, I just hang out with them. When I'm there, I just hang out with them. When they come, they say something, whatever. Like, I talk to
them. Let me give you my uncle experience as both a person who has many uncles and a person who is uncle to many people.
Yes. Okay.
And I feel like you're the most well positioned to speak on this.
Yes.
No, the fuck is that?
My Alec both experience. Okay.
Let the bit come. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
There are several bits.
I'm sorry.
Set up.
Go ahead.
Comedy 101.
Okay. Comedy 101.
So
set up, punchline, execution.
All right. So uncle of the year. Go ahead.
So it helps a lot when there are many uncles. So there are very different niches that you can fill.
Okay.
Like, for example, somebody who has probably 20-ish uncles, I assume. Mm-hmm. Probably. Somewhere. somewhere.
Life of them.
8,622.
Point four.
Like we have a nakhl uncle.
Okay. يجيب لكم نخل.
He knows everything about nakhl.
يجيب لكم نخل. Wow.
No.
This is where you're going to fail.
This is where you're going to fail. He is correct.
Listen.
He is correct.
يجيب لكم نخل.
جاب لنا نخلتين في بيتنا.
There we go.
No.
Okay.
Like, is that his activity that like, so when you see him معنا نخلة ورا? بيجيب معنا نخلة?
No, but you know he's the نخلة man.
He's the مشتل and farm person. That's his niche.
See, okay, that's a niche. Yes.
So I could ask him anything about tamar and نخل and that assorted ecosystem.
Exactly.
There we go. That's a useful niche.
Okay. And as an uncle, my niche is that I'm the young uncle. So basically I'm the big, I'm the big brother.
Mashallah Alek.
And how I do that is like I send memes and give money,
and relate to video game discussions.
Yes.
In other words, he just buys them off.
Yes.
Yeah. You can buy them off.
So bribery. Yes. This is what we're talking about.
See, now. That's the thing. You can bribe kids easily.
I have access to everything, bro. Everything that you're gonna talk about, you can say, "Oh, do you guys know about Superman?"
Yeah.
They'll just Google that shit really quick.
Yes.
And they get all the information. They didn't even talk to you anymore. They didn't see your face.
But they can't Google an iPhone. I have the credit card. I can buy the iPhone. So I am more powerful than the
kids. Keep in mind, the major difference between back in the day and now is now parents care a lot about their children, how they raise them. So you could be wanting to buy them an iPhone, but his parent doesn't want to get an iPhone right now.
Yeah, true. You gotta get permission.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, احنا سلفيين بس مو سلفيين بورجوازيين يعني.
Okay. No, it's about
saying you can't give a kid an iPhone without asking his parents if he needs an iPhone.
There are boundaries.
Yes.
You know, and you need to respect the boundaries that have been set by parents.
But that is your niche, Shamsi, unfortunately, is giving people information.
That didn't ask for.
So
highly knowledgeable information.
Educating them, you know, informing them.
Yeah, since that is your niche.
Raising their knowledge profile.
It's no longer valid.
Because we
have the internet now.
Yes.
All information is accessible.
I am redundant.
All of us are.
All of us are redundant.
Not you.
Shamsi first.
No, but you guys provide different things. What do you provide as an uncle?
Gum.
But that's it.
And backflips.
Okay, best.
That's how you win out. My nieces, that's how you win out.
Okay.
Physical pain.
Backflips, Rajal.
You do the backflips or you backflip them? There's a difference.
No, I don't do it. Do I look like I do backflips?
That's the question.
Have you seen Turks stand up? He makes noises.
Exactly. Like, I've never seen a person who needs an oil change.
I grunt while I'm breathing. Best, kiddo.
Like I look at it when I was growing up, like my dad is the eldest of his siblings and my older sister were the first generation of grandkids. But we ended up kind of growing up with my uncles and aunts, and each of them kind of provided something. Like one of my uncles used to study for Petrol. He used to always come back on weekends, take us out on Friday afternoon drives. But there was a certain feeling to it, an awe fella.
He was a cool uncle.
Yes, he was the cool uncle. You know,
those kids are going to grow up in a world where they have the whole fucking metro system functioning for them. They have things available for them. Mm. Bro, it's different. It's fucking different.
I don't know. I don't understand.
You're not going to send kids to the metro. No.
Have you been to London?
Yes.
Okay. We're talking about here.
Yes.
I feel like it's different.
Metro culture is very established.
Here is safe. You won't get stabbed.
No. Metro culture, it still didn't start. So we don't know how we're going to be when it comes to sending kids to the metro station.
Well, again, they're going to need 5-6 years before they go to school.
Yeah.
5-6 years, the country's going to change, bro.
Yes, but we still don't know what the metro etiquette is.
Also, even if you're not going to put them in the metro, as a parent, You're not going to let your kids go with anybody.
True.
True.
Yes.
Yeah, Uncle
let alone Shamsi.
Let alone Shamsi.
Uncle Shamsi is one of those people that...
Listen.
You're supposed
zero responsibility. How many tickets do you have for holding your phone? Thank you.
See, that's a different discussion.
Thank you. No. Same
this
discussion.
Is why I'll be using the Metro.
Same discussion.
This is exactly why I'll be using the Metro.
I sit in the car with you. You're still holding your phone up.
Okay. Responding to him.
Yes.
But sure. Yeah.
Shamsi, just so you can understand. These youngins. Peoples.
Mm-hmm.
Are going to be growing up in a post-2030 world.
Yeah.
A post-2030 world.
Yeah,
interesting.
Different world, bro.
Different world.
So we're going to be telling them about things that we went through that they're not even going to be able
Shamsi,
to.
Shamsi,
we're our parents now.
I am.
Shamsi, you need to understand, like, there are kids now in their 20s who went to high school and had Snapchat. You, me, Turks, Sister Adil, we didn't have any of that. Do you imagine growing up in high school with having Snapchat?
Nope.
Because you would have been in jail.
Exactly.
Yes.
Different time, bro. Everything is different. You can't move the same way you used to before.
Mm. No, but so that's exciting for them, honestly, being able to grow up with all the opportunities that are available now. It's nice to see that, you know, okay, despite that, now we have everything, all the opportunities open for us. The way is paved for the next generation even more than it was for us, you know?
See, before when you were young...
In terms of education, in terms of the mindset...
When your uncle talks to you, he's educating you. Sahalillah.
Mm.
He's giving you information that's hard to find.
Because you couldn't fact check him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. Now...
Mafia libraries.
Now he's like, the second you talk about something, oh, I already saw on YouTube.
Yeah.
Ibn Halal, this is not how you're supposed to do it. I saw on YouTube. They become smart mouth little fucks.
And you can't even deal with them.
You can't deal with that shit.
Something I actually see that now with my current crop of cousins. I'm like, you know
current
what?
Current crop.
Hey, well, current crop. Hey, Fiji, Hali, and Mojood. Okay. Cousins. Okay. That I am surprised to know are no longer atfal, apparently. They are teenagers now.
Yeah, there's a thing called time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And growth.
Hey, well, yani,
it happens with time.
And if Mokhi, they're always 7.
Yes.
Okay. Turns out they're 16. But.
Wow. Yani, wow. Okay, that's a joke.
Yeah. I love it. But it's weird for me to kind of process that, and I'm dealing with them like adults at this point.
Yeah, speaking of that, I've had this reality starkly illustrated to me yesterday.
شكلت زبدلك.
مو زبدلي يعني أنا because أنا مؤدب جدا.
سبحان الله.
But I felt
small.
I felt out of place.
Ewa.
I felt out of place and out of time for like the first time in a while.
Okay.
I went to Parker's in Safarat.
Oh, there's a Parker's for Safarat?
Yes, next to the Joe and Juice. Yes, there's
there's a Joe and Juice in Safarat. Okay.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just made this joke before the podcast started. Exactly. So it's just, okay.
It was worth bringing up.
Yeah.
But I have to be honest. I think the median age there in the place was like 20.
Okay.
Like I felt like, yo, I'm way too old.
Out of place.
Yeah, I felt out of place.
Yeah, we are too old for this shit.
Yeah, like it's kind of like puts a lot of things into...
Thank you. I've been...
Into, what's the term I'm using? Into context, into stark view. Like, yo, I need to move.
You feel like the bald guy at the roller derby. What's the roller derby?
What the fuck is he talking about?
I don't understand that.
I was going to talk about the roller discos. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a reference that you're trying to...
No, there's not. It's just stupidity. Mm-hmm. But thank you very much for enlightening us. And I'm an old guy to Gould. Let's stop going out.
Yeah, like it's like...
It's their time. It's not ours. We stay in.
And to be honest,
this is the old man speak.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he's the person who never leaves the house.
Bullshit. I'm always out of
the house. Do you enjoy staying home and having a cup of tea?
Yes.
Khalas.
Do you look forward to doing that on Fridays?
Yeah.
Yes.
I do. After
the thing is
a ridiculous a time, work week.
We thought because growing up seeing our uncles and shit, that being adult means when you're in your 30s,
halas,
you're super adult.
Yes.
And then time changed. Mm-hmm. So now 30s is like 20s. So you in your 30s today, you'd be like how are they adults?
Yeah, like, I haven't figured out shit yet. How the hell did they figure shit out?
I feel 20.
Because they didn't have so much thing to figure out.
Yes. I feel
my dad got married at 24. You know, like I can't even fathom just getting married at that age.
I feel mentally the same as in my 20s. The only difference is that I have back pain now.
That's it.
And some white hairs.
And sleeping early is a reward, not a punishment.
True.
Yes, this is
true.
How you treat yourself.
Yes.
Basically.
Like, oh, I'm looking forward to sleeping. And
good night's sleep. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Welcome to the old man hour.
I'm like, wow.
We're just reminiscing about.
I remember when I used to fight my mom, like, la, yes, badri. I'm like, I look back at that time, like, yo, I was a dumbass.
I should have slept.
I should have slept. Sleep is awesome.
Well, that's the thing. Awesome. Time has changed, bro. Everything has changed. The personalities have changed. Even kids who are 15 are not the same kids who were 15 when we were 15.
Mm. I'm just thinking about it in the terms of, yeah, when I look back at my parents, you know, age, the 70s seemed so long ago. And for now, for this generation, if I start talking about the 90s, you know, it's just as far ago, you know, like it's
for us, completely the 90s different, was last week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yes. It's a completely different generation. And I'm describing to you a time where technology was in infancy, where the internet wasn't really that widespread.
Yes.
Where, like where we had to deal with VHS and tape recorders and like,
yeah, the joke
nothing
is that
was on demand.
The joke is that 1990s has always been 10 years away and 2016 has always been 2 years away. It feels like that in your head.
And now we're coming to a world where like hoverboards are real and you know.
One of my boys reached out to me. He was like, you coming down to the States this summer? I'm like, ew. I was like, why? He was like, oh, my daughter's graduating college.
Whoa.
Exactly. Again, he had it when we were in high school, so.
Okay, so
yeah,
timeline checks out.
But still, like, yeah. Fucking hell, man.
That's how quick, Kenny, it's how that didn't.
But here's the thing. I think the generation now that are coming up, the major difference is that they gain awareness and knowledge way quicker, but maturity comes way later.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you think their lives are going to be easier than ours?
There's no such thing as
define easier.
More
comfortable, yes.
Comfortable, more convenient.
Comfortable, yes. But like the realities of what is expected from you are going to be very different.
Yeah. Mm.
Like back in, let's say, the 70s, you can just hold a regular job, do nothing, daum saah daash, shrub lik shai wa shabura, clock out at like 2 o'clock and like tshirik ard
biryalin,
ba'al meter. Now that you actually have to put work, there's a lot of expectations on you. So there's more competition. Mm-hmm. Like the expectation and the reality is very
there's
different.
Less to go around.
But on the other hand, there is more opportunities to do things that weren't open back in that time, you know, in terms of how the country is moving, in terms of all the different avenue streams from tourism to entertainment.
The real difference that only the few and really bright will understand is that it's a blue ocean. Mm. There is, at this stage, you really can do whatever you want. And in most cases, you can get direct support from the government on it.
True.
Like any...
So many different funds going around.
Allah yahfazha dawla, dawur nas tadamhum at this point.
Sahih.
And there is no excuse for not moving at this point.
And they'll be living in a less globalized world, I think, than the one that we lived in.
Less?
What does that mean?
And I feel like the world is moving in a trend where it's not about being all of us interconnected as much as having certain blocks, let's say, you know, that are more in tune with each other than the rest of the world.
But like, there's a difference from what you're saying. You're describing a multipolar
world. Yeah, rather than a unipolar world.
That's generally when it comes to like geopolitics and just economics and what have you. But like culturally, we're still going to be super connected.
Yeah, but I do feel like nowadays there is a bigger focus on, let's say, culture that relates to the Middle East or culture that relates to Khalid rather than looking at, you know, the West or the US as that.
Yeah, that's
that was an initiative that we started.
Yeah, but see, you get my point? Like moving forward, that's only going to be more increased. So they're going to grow up in a different, I feel like they'll grow up in a generation where they do appreciate Middle East culture more than we did.
Keep in mind.
You get my point?
No, because we grew up in Middle Eastern culture. It was basically the things that we used to do.
Mm.
But with the change of technology over the last 20 years, we separated from that.
True.
So it's now like we're going back to it. So it's not like they're going to be growing into something that we don't know. No, we know it. It's just there's a generation that missed out on it.
Skipped. So we're the generation that skipped out.
We're a lost generation in a lot of ways.
So you know what? That's actually interesting. And I'll go back to a different point. I remember when I was growing up, Kanfi Orbit for a bit. Okay. Mm. And all of my uncles and my aunts, they always used to watch these old, you know, Egyptian movies. Kan Qatil Ula Orbit.
Yes.
Aflam Masriya.
I remember.
And I was something that I never got into. But now, with you're looking at, you know, all the Saudi movies that are coming out, Sattar, Khalat, like we are going back to that point where people are watching Arabic movies on a more regular basis. So that supports the point that you're saying. We kind of missed out on that in a sense.
It's like we're going back to our, it's reviving our identity.
Rediscovery, I want to say.
No, I don't think we rediscovered.
Re-energizing?
Because it's embedded into our culture. And Adat Khalid, it's been the same, didn't change.
Yeah, what I'm saying here is that there are more people that are getting into the less, or sorry, the more esoteric parts of the culture.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, مثلا, a little bit مثال. One of my friends has been really like interested and looking into Arabian mythology.
Okay.
Like, and I'm talking specifically like with mythical creatures and whatnot, like Nasnas, and like these things that are interesting to him.
Mm.
I'm sure for a lot of us, we've heard of that maybe like Salua or whatever growing up, but like this guy, he's like, has a keen interest in like diving and looking into the culture, looking into like historiography. Like I see him like pulling up PDFs of like manuscripts from the 13th century from Baghdad or whatever, describing Jizirat Waq al-Waq, stuff like that. So there is Adat al-Qalid that we know of, but like I think there's an argument to be made that people are focusing more on the obscure and less in-your-face aspects of the culture.
Because there's a lot of aspects of culture that have never really been focused on. And I think of, to support your point, I think of like all the archaeology initiatives that are happening in Saudi. The fact that Saudi is now being, you know, repainted as a country that has a deep history that is unparalleled when it comes to other countries. Like the fact that we have the dry climate that we have allows us to discover inscriptions that go back 5,000-7,000 years.
Yeah.
So we're talking like pharaonic times and beyond that.
Recently, actually, now to your point, that's something very interesting. Again, I'm talking here in academic terms. In academics, people were the running theory that the name Isa, when it entered into Arabic, it's not an Arabic name per se, but it was a sort of a corruption, which is a technical term for like transformation of word from the original Hebrew name for Isa alayhi salatu salam, which is, if I'm not mistaken, Yeshua or something like that. The assumption is that just a corruption. That's why the difference there, that some people in like the Levant or whatever use the term Yeshua, which is they consider a more faithful transformation of the name. But recently they discovered the actual like historical evidence saying that, no, there is a thread between that name and the word, the name Isa. There is actual link there. It's not just...
Could the thread be the Quran?
No. The term here, the term here is that basically, there was no evidence, historical evidence, outside the Quran. So the idea that they actually found manuscripts using that name, like pre-Islamic manuscripts and like stone carvings and what have you. So there is a lot of history here that is just now being discovered.
Yeah, look at what's name al-Ula. Especially like the last 2 years, they keep discovering new things in it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like the whole Harat, volcanic area that's being, I think they just set
Khaybar.
Up a, Khaybar, exactly, just set up a volcanic camp there. So you do have a lot that we never really ever thought of when we were growing up. You know, we never really considered, okay, we have this huge, vast, beautiful land with all of its different, you know, environments and all of its different traditions and all of its different histories, all of these different stories. And I think of, مثلاً, how like I ended up attending plays, مثلاً, this past year that some of them were hosted by the Ministry of Culture that talks about these pre-Islamic stories, you know, that are part of the myth of Arabia, that are part of the culture of Arabia. You know, these are the stories that we, our generation, never really looked into. But nowadays, you are seeing more interest in reviving them. You are seeing more interest in telling these stories.
Keep in mind, it was a different culture back then. True. It wasn't about...
Wasn't focused.
Oh, yeah. You don't care about the past. You care about only tradition and religion.
Well, that's the thing. Tradition, is usually something from the past.
Tradition so in line with religion.
Yes. Mm. That's so the difference.
It was not culture.
Mm.
It was a narrow view in a sense. Exactly. Like this is what this is the thread that ties us. And nowadays we
when we were in Al-Ula, Intan was telling me, he's like, the only time I saw Dan Salih was in a book.
True.
Mm-hmm. True. Like, I didn't even know where it was.
And it was never something that was discussed, you know, it's just mentioned in a geography. What can all Tarafish is Dan Salih in Saudi, you know, and you never really delved into it. But I'm glad that hopefully any of this current generation is going to have these opportunities and really explore them in ways that we never really had the chance to.
You can now literally talk about like ancient Arabian kingdoms, like in like BC times, like the Nabataean kingdom,
Lihyan,
the Kindic kingdoms,
Kinda, Mamlakat Kinda.
And it's fun fact, like Umru al-Qais is a descendant from one of the kings there.
Yeah, he's one of the prince of the nation.
Well, anyway.
Allah barik fikum, ya. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I totally forgot what was coming
to Ramadan. Shukran, yani, for your
well wishes. We started about him being an uncle, and we led into civilization. Yeah. This is a dumb podcast.
speaking of podcast, for our Spotify listeners, the ones who couldn't get the last episode, blame Spotify. Spotify announced that they launched Spotify Video in Saudi. Well, that was bullshit.
They claimed.
It was on Arab News. Mm. I have the article. It was bullshit.
We have receipts.
Yes, I've been fighting with their tech team for over a week now.
If this tells you anything about dude, what does that tell you?
That they don't give a shit about our region.
True.
Mm. Well, caught you off guard, right?
I was thinking something else. Sure.
Caught you off guard.
I was more like, time doesn't really exist.
No,
it's a figment of our imagination.
No. If you make a big deal about rolling out video in the region, you should
roll out video in the region.
Yes.
No, and it's the biggest market by far.
Mm.
Like, no offense, my guy. Like, Annie, get your house in order.
Oh, well, that's a Spotify problem. That's why I told y'all stay away from Spotify.
Yeah. Don't look at us.
Don't look at us. Anyway, off to new things.
In other news,
Google's new AI turns text into music.
What? Okay, wait. Again, how does that work?
Google researchers have made an AI that can generate minutes-long musical pieces from text prompts.
Okay.
And can even transform a whistled or hummed melody into other instruments, similar to how systems like DALL-E, stuff like that, right? Where is it? The model is called Music LM. And while you can't play around with it for yourself, the company has uploaded a bunch of samples that produce using the model.
Here's the thing. Like I think there's like a bunch of failed art students in Silicon Valley that have a real axe to grind with artists.
I mean, at least they're not waging a world war, alhamdulillah.
Yeah, like it's a downgrade. Yeah.
Not yet.
But saying
exactly. Like not yet. Don't get ahead of yourself, buddy.
I can already see the Japanese frustrated, you know, Gundam fan creating a super mech that destroys.
Yeah,
I can see that you have hope in your eyes.
Mongolia, you know, Ulaanbaatar.
No offense. Like you have this AI art now, AI music. Back in a couple of years ago, you had like AI generated rappers. Like you can literally write a rap for a program that has literally like samples from Eminem, He Who Must Not Be Aimed, and Jay-Z.
Okay, question here. Do you think that we should place limits on these technologies?
Like at the end of the day, like, are you trying to invalidate the artist?
No, I am trying to push the boundaries of what I can make computers do.
And how are you going to use that monetarily?
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about right now.
You need to understand.
That's the end result.
The end result
is cutting out the middleman.
Exactly.
The end result is cutting off the creator from getting paid. Fair. The end result is company saving money. Fair. But I'm talking about in terms of the people that are creating these technologies. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But a lot of it
I'm sorry, pushing
boundaries and, okay, what can we make this
computer actually do?
And OpenAI, for example, is a non-profit driven organization,
there's,
right?
There's a bunch of producers.
It's non-profit.
Yes.
It's non-profit. That's what I'm saying.
It's non-profit.
Yeah.
But whatever it creates.
It could be used for profit, definitely.
Like,
I'm not saying
that. There are a bunch of producers in LA like drooling at the idea of just writing an entire movie script from a sentence.
Bro, you can literally do that right now.
ChatGPT.
You can literally do that right now.
Exactly.
Right now.
And
okay.
Yes.
That it's going to only get better and better and better and better.
Yes.
But how is that bad though?
It is bad because where is creativity now?
Yes. Where is creativity?
I saw a post done by one of the artists I follow on Instagram. talking about AI generated arts. Mm. It's just a tool, just like any other tool, just like this pencil. Drops a pencil on the paper and says, okay, pencil, write me a painting. Oh, sorry, didn't get the prompt right. Draw me a beautiful painting of a horse. Mm. So it does not, it's not a tool that an artist can use. It's replacing the artist itself.
Exactly.
Yes. Same thing with the music thing. And basically, the generating music from a hum or a whistle to another instrument, that's
good.
That's great. That's just a level up for the synthesizer.
He's right.
No, yeah, sure. But see, again,
but the whole prompt thing, that would back in.
Guys, look at the trend.
Other musicians
look at the trend of technology.
Trend of technology. Let's go back for a minute.
Architecture is next, by the way, Tal.
Khrashni.
Architecture is next.
When DALL-E first came out, and what's the other application? What's it called?
Fusion. Open Diffusion. Disco Diffusion.
That's what it's called. So when you used it, you hear what you're saying. You're like, yo, man, I put a couple of words and it made this masterpiece. Mm. For someone that can't draw, to you, like, oh, fuck yeah. Mm. Now there's this thing that makes me do the things that I want to do, even though it's not exactly how I imagined it, but it's creating something for me. But for the person that knows how to draw, you're like, yo, what the hell, man? I've been crafting my skills. Yes. And for me to build something.
This is literally my drawing stitched into another drawing.
And exactly.
And literally my work. You took my work.
There's actually a lawsuit going on. What's it called? Which one of those things?
I think it was for Disco Fusion.
Disco Diffusion.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's the other one. I don't think DALL-E.
Yeah, because, hey, like, I'm a commercial comic book artist. Why are you using my drawings in your program without my consent?
Which is fair. Which is completely fair.
But if that sets a precedent, that's going to kill the whole thing, because that's what the program is.
Well, hina, there's different ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it, let's at least respect living artists while they live, and let's not kind of profit off their style.
What does that mean?
I'm just looking at it in different angles. And then
give me sentences.
And you can use old references of Monet's and Van Gogh's.
Why?
And
to build Why?
Your,
Why?
To build your...
Why? Okay, Mona Lisa. كم سعر Mona Lisa?
And you're looking at ways...
جيب لي اياها تركب وجه مستر بين. What's the value of the original Mona Lisa?
I'm talking about protecting current artists who are living and profiting off their art.
But how are you protecting
instead
them?
Of, how about instead the of getting, of the, if I go pay, if I want Jim Lee to pay me a Jim Lee artist, comic cover, but instead of having to get Jim Lee, I can get the AI to do it, then I'm hurting Jim Lee. It's no longer a Jim Lee, even though it's a Jim Lee inspired.
And when Jim Lee dies, passes away, who's going to feed his children?
Yes.
His estate, Yanni?
Yes.
Well, that's where copyright comes in. You have how long for copyright?
And copyright,
that's the lawsuit.
The lawsuit, protecting the copyright.
For example, Getty Images, the reason they're suing is because they said, yay, you guys came and used the information that we had on our website. Without our consent to build your AI. Mm. So you came and you just automatically robbed a whole website, a whole company for all the work that's been doing, for all the creators that's on the website that's creating and putting up images and uploading and trying to sell it and trying to make money. And you came and just took all that away. Mm. And you gave it to a bunch of people and you said, hey, now you can create.
It's art piracy.
It is.
Shuf, to be honest, I see a lot of the negativity that comes with it when you do deny artists the ability to profit off their work and their training and all of the stuff they put in. But I feel like it's like shouting against the rain, you know, because the trend is moving forward. And I feel it's very difficult to be able to set guidelines in terms of let's say, policy. Terms of laws, one law in one country is not going to affect other countries. One law passed in the state is not going to affect whoever's doing whatever.
Actually,
in Japan.
One law passing in the state that's enforceable can affect other countries. Like, they take down websites that are copyright infringing all the time outside the state.
Fair. But see,
what if tomorrow there's
an AI? The trend is still moving. And once upon a time, bro, you had people that were literally paid to wake other people up. Now you have alarm clocks. You had people who spent their whole lives, breeding horses in order for people to get around from point A to point B. Then you got cars.
But
so the trend
that
always
wasn't taking
skills.
Away skills though. Someone waking you up is not a skill.
Yes.
That dude can like throw mad rocks on windows. That's
somebody,
a skill.
And somebody breeding a horse and training a horse is a skill.
Yes.
And then, you know, it became a very niche skill. Instead of having thousands of people doing it, you ended up with tens of people.
There, there is a need for a horse.
Exactly. Exists, you know? Reduced.
Yeah. Not the need for transportation.
It became a luxury. It was no longer a necessity.
It became an
accessory, basically.
A horse person will need a horse person handler. So...
is Inception.
Yes. So
this is Inception.
Horse
person handler.
Horse person handler.
Yes, that's my favorite superhero, by the way.
When you call him, he needs. Yes.
Yes. Oh my God. The horse person needs a horse person handler for the horse thing.
Okay.
So there is a consistency there that did not die out, but there is sort of this undercurrent that. We want to cut you out of the whole process, Aslan.
Yes.
I think there will always be a space for human art, for human artists and human creators in the industry. I think people will always appreciate. I think there's going to be a snobbishness that comes out at some point between art created by humans and art created by AI.
Yeah, but Cindy, you
get my point?
You're a user, though. You're saying it as someone that uses software.
Mm.
Go talk to an artist and see how he really feels about this.
Yeah.
You can't tell us, oh, by the way, there's going to be a place for you. Don't worry about it.
Mm.
No. It's going to get harder and harder and harder and harder and harder.
It's already hard.
You know, watching it get worse.
Yeah.
It's already hard.
As a person who's just passively just...
Crying. And now musicians are getting dragged into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As a person who's passively and somewhat actively trying to improve his drawing skills.
How's that going?
It's very hard.
Okay. Yes.
Terribly. Like, I can tell you.
Yes.
Notice that he doesn't answer the question.
Okay. He sees the Instagram post. Mm-hmm. Progression is happening, but it's very slowly. Mm. And like the basic things take a lot of effort, like perspective, like the hand is so goddamn complicated.
Never draw a hand. Just circle. Alas.
Pause.
I want to challenge myself, but the idea that at some point nobody's going to care that you can draw a hand, it's kind of like you're kind of invalidating the whole pursuit, Aslan.
Listen to why are you doing it? You're doing it for yourself, right?
Yes.
Not doing it because you want other people to care.
But there is maybe a potential that...
Exactly. There's a chance that you can do something great.
Yeah, sure. But because at this point in time, it's more about you wanting to learn and grow and build your skill set.
Yes, it's a de-stressor. It's helping you not to kill people at work.
Great. Honestly, keep on doing it then.
All right.
Please do.
That took a dark turn.
I mean, it's obvious that murder is regularly on your mind. What? You know? That's concerning to us.
There's an AI for that.
Yes.
Like, how in the year of 2023 you are dealing with people who
this is why they created VR.
Who don't know what the BCC is.
I really hope he doesn't see this podcast.
No.
I really hope he does. I'm praying for that.
Like, no.
Again, back to topic. Back to topic.
Back to
Sorry,
topic.
I had my moment. Of
I heights. Agree with Shamsi that AI is coming whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
Yes.
But at the same time, we as humans can dictate where it should stop.
I know that.
Yes.
But
to know capitalism.
There we go.
I know where you're going.
Exactly.
Capitalism.
We can
dictate shit.
But you know. But unfortunately, reality is people are greedy and people want to profit and someone will always find a profitable motive to push. You know, technology over labor. This is the triumph of capital over labor.
Yeah, you want to make more money and pay less.
Yes, and you don't want to deal with labor. So, khalas, money.
So, imagine tomorrow there's this fucking AI podcast.
Bruh, that will generate I will topics. Promise you, somebody's already working on
it. I know, but sometimes it generates topics and there's a full episode for you.
And literally somebody has, you know, and figure out a way to create AI personas and they... Bro, it's this. What's it called? This is going to be a live Turing test, you know, where AIs talk to AIs, and then at some point, people can't even fathom that this is an AI talking.
Remember when Google did it?
Yeah.
Google?
Yeah.
Yes. Google Assistant?
No, it was Google
AI
Assistant.
AI Assistant, wasn't it?
So Google...
When that engineer with the fedora...
No, but way before that.
When you started using Google to book your appointments.
No. That Google, was this one? No, Google, I think one of their events a couple of years ago, I think at least 6 or 7 years ago, they showed this...
Assistant.
Was it the assistant?
Mm. It was
customer service.
No, the assistant...
Call this restaurant, book me a table.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
And people were like outraged and okay, shit, no, now we have a problem when it gets to the point that you can't tell that you're talking to a robot.
First of all, people don't understand what we're talking about. There was this program, it was with Google Assistant.
Yeah.
And you would tell it, book me, as Turk said, like, you know, an appointment at a restaurant or whatever the fuck it is, right?
So similar
and
to Siri.
It would call and it would sound just like a human being.
Exactly.
And it would go back and forth, and it would sound like even the person on the other line would not even know that it's a robot.
That's the point. The point was, you know, it would actually conduct a full conversation with a real person, and that real person is not aware that he's talking to an AI.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is super scary.
It is.
The most beautiful thing about it is you don't have to communicate with any human being.
And it's like,
if the person gives it two choices, it gives you the two choices of text prompts. You just click one and it goes, continues the conversation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a, oh.
But any,
chef's kiss.
But once again, yeah, we're already moving in that direction, you know, screaming in the wind and all, oh, this is not fair and this is not cool. It's not going to help us. You know, what is going to help us is figuring out ways to.
Legislation.
I as much as I would like to think that legislation is going to help, I feel like it can't, unless it happens in somewhere like the EU where it's you have to enforce it over the rest of the world, you know, or the states, obviously. But the states, although there's too much politics involved to be able
corporate
to get
interests.
Something. Yeah, there's too much politics involved to be able to get laws passed easily, especially when it comes to technology.
The term public domain and Mickey Mouse are very interesting.
Explain a little bit more.
Do you know the public domain, listeners, for people who are not aware, that any intellectual work after a certain time has passed.
75 years or give or take.
Used to be. After a certain period passed from the date of inception, it would enter the public domain.
But you can use it for free.
You can use it for free. You can make creative works. You can make profit out of it.
Yes.
Disney is the main lobbying force to extend that deadline because once Mickey Mouse gets into the public domain, all hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah.
And this is like it used to
be. It used to be 35 years from author death, and I think now it's like 70 or 80, maybe 100 plus or something. Like to give you an idea, Winnie the Pooh recently entered the public domain, and the first thing, that happened was a Winnie the Pooh horror movie because why not?
It looks scary as hell. It is gruesome.
True, I think. Honestly, Annie, the easiest thing, I wouldn't think the easiest thing, but rather than fight the wave, try to figure out ways to make it work for you.
How?
That's the trick.
Someone is building, there's that's no the trick, Hamsey. Someone is building something to take away something from someone else. And if you're that someone else, it doesn't work for you. You just lost out. Mm. I mean, what's the name? AI generated images. Since when did it come out? What?
Year,
6 months?
Year and
six,
a half.
No, less than a year. Way less than a year.
Less than a year?
Let's say for the sake of easiness, a year.
A year. Look at all the drama it caused in 1 year.
Yes.
Mm. And we're still just at the very, very start of it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's when it starts.
And the AI is not even at its full potential yet.
Bro, it's version one right now.
Version one, version two.
I think like version 4 or 5.
I saw like an AI prompt where it basically asked people to replicate like Polaroid photographs. You know, the glossiness and whatever, like selfies. It looked really real, but since it's an AI, it doesn't figure out hands and teeth.
Mm. Yes.
So if you focus enough, it looks horrific. Like you see realistic looking hands with like 7 or 18 fingers.
Bro, there's this account I'm following. It's like the sci-fi magazine and that does AI prompts of movies. So it does like give me a Star Wars directed by Jodorowsky, you know, starring Morgan Freeman. Yeah, that shit is, you know, like there's a level of refinement that is possible at the moment and you see where it's going. And at some point it is going to be indistinguishable from reality.
I think that same account just tweeted out like images of a
Matrix inspired in the 80s.
Of a Cronenberg movie. Mm. Cronenberg is famous for like these really weird practical effects, grotesque monsters, whatever. Mm. I honestly could not tell if this was something made up or just a movie from Cronenberg I had never heard of.
Yep. There's a company that just released a new AI software that can listen for 3 seconds to your voice.
And replicate it.
Three seconds?
What was it saying? Believe none of what you hear and half what you see?
Something like that.
Yeah, now believe nothing.
That's it.
Just believe nothing.
I think it's like you still know it's an AI. Mm. But imagine this one is fucking refined perfectly.
Fucking creepy, bro.
That's just scary, bro.
Give it 2 years.
The thing is, think of the black market. think when they have that kind of resources available for them.
Think of the amount of identity that can happen.
Yes.
Impersonation.
I'm really still worried about deepfakes, for example. Like a deepfake is going to start a war eventually.
Mm-hmm. That's part of it.
I don't think so.
You think so?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think deepfakes, they'll get good, right? But
you could see the potential start a riot.
Yeah, but
deepfakes are really good, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're really good. But so, starting a riot, bro. Okay, no one takes information from one source.
True.
So if one source gives that information.
Some people do get information from one source.
Yes, but
like,
so,
remember the
riot. And start riots.
Yeah. January 6th but happened.
That
yeah.
was a human, though. That was a human being that was in front of you on fucking camera.
True.
It wasn't a video that was sent to your phone.
Do you remember Jamiroquai went to the White House?
Yes, I do remember Jamiroquai went to the White House.
There was a riot when Jamiroquai went to the White House.
The QAnon shaman, that weird dude with horns.
No, Hunchback.
Fascismo. Yeah, that's not good. Like, it's not going to be. Look, the world's going to end either way. Like,
bro, that's what I'm saying.
Right, so,
this is why we go back to the original point. Bro, fuck them peoples. Let's put the walls up and خلاص يعني عرفت. Yeah, قفل خلاص اقعد حولك وحول نفسك. خلي خرابيطهم عندهم.
I'll go and speak to an introvert. You guys still want to go
as somebody who's, who's actually believed in the whole concept of like, you know, oh, kumbaya, let's just all get together. And now I see the reality is.
Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, my friend.
معد نبي بلاويكم. تكون خلو بلاويكم عندكم.
Every time I think of the end of time and I look at where technology is going, it makes more sense to me how we will get there.
Yeah.
Taking us there.
Because we are relying on fucking satellites and fucking undersea cables. If those things get separated and our lives are all attached to a phone and to an application.
Bro, all it takes is one solar flare event to fry
everything.
Everything. Literally one solar flare event. Ahlen, like Ahlen, Stone Age. Ahlen, hello, Stone Age.
Can't put a big net
hello, clubs.
In the sky.
Hello.
Huh? What do you want?
Like, I'm trying to brainstorm some solutions.
Turk thinks he's going to put his phone in his pocket. Khas, it's going to be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is why they created sci-fi movies about, you know.
The post-apocalypse?
No, not necessarily that.
Big net in the sky, Matish.
Hey, a big net in the sky and shit. Yeah, okay. That shit doesn't work. Big mirror in the sky, that doesn't work either.
But that's the thing. Imagine, like, all this technology gets so fucking advanced that our life is just relying on. Which is exactly what's going to happen. Which is exactly where we're going.
Which is where we are.
No, I think, right now you can still survive without technology.
Yeah, but
you still have a chance that you can go and do things manually.
Yes. Okay, but برضو you're moving to a place where
that's what I'm saying.
Cars are going
to
be
electric. We will get to a time that everything you do is going to be automated in some shape or form.
Or electric or computerized.
And the second that goes away, your ass doesn't know how to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Your ass doesn't know how to fucking
homie.
Do anything. Start fires.
Kuch life.
Kuch, man. Kuch life. I sat there and I saw you for like a half an hour trying to start a fire. Okay.
I succeeded.
Eventually. Tried to start the fire.
Katemt ummana kulla.
Where was this?
This is the boots.
Yeah. There's this man called...
Champs. Harrika. Harrika, Champs.
Yeah. There's this man called the Unibomber. You might have heard of him.
Yes. And the kuch.
Can and the Kuch?
Yes.
Like he was very much like off the grid technology.
Yeah, he was
has
off the grid.
That man was smart though.
Yes, he's a Harvard graduate. Yes. IQ
PhD,
of like 200.
Right?
Yeah, IQ of 200. Like he made the bombs himself from nothing because it could be traceable.
I did not watch the show, by the way, so I have...
You have to.
Really?
I remember when it happened. I was
in the
States.
Real?
Yeah, I was in the
States.
This
was in the 90s?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was
like
the
80s. Here's the thing about him. Like he was very much like a pro-environmentalist extremist. He wrote this manifesto. And when they offered him a plea bargain of insanity, he refused.
He's not coming out crazy.
I'm not crazy because if I'm crazy, this manifesto is meaningless.
Mm.
So he, out of principle, like, no, I'm going to take the time.
I'm going to take the time.
But did he do, what was the first thing he blew up?
I think it's an airline or something.
Wasn't it?
Wasn't it like a federal building in Oklahoma?
Wasn't it Oklahoma?
Yeah, that's something.
No, that's some shit.
No, that's the Oklahoma City bombing.
That's the Oklahoma City bombing.
That's Tim.
Yeah, that's different.
Tim, dude.
Allah la ilaha. I was telling the guys yesterday. I think it was on CNN or some shit. There's more mass shooting than days
in the States.
The States.
Yeah, saw that
in January.
Here's the thing. More guns, more shooting.
Yeah. It's my Second Amendment.
My rights. Like, here's the thing.
My rights to have a gun.
To all, like, four or five whites that listen to this program.
go save your people.
No, like an AR-15 isn't going to save you from like the tyranny of the US government. Exactly. Unless you have like, I don't know, like a few hundred B-52 bombers. I think the US is going to win that fight, my guy.
He bombed airlines. He bombed schools, universities. Well, it's man.
Anyway, let's move on from him. But yeah. Allah lay blano.
I mean,
what's happening in the States is something very fucking scary.
Yes.
And they're too blind to the reality.
Well,
that's the thing.
Like, the States are like the number one exporter of weird news. Like, the creator in Rick and Morty caught a domestic, for God's sake.
That's the thing.
Florida Man is the thing.
For a long time, they were on this high horse of being leaders and whatever the fuck you want to call them.
Bro, that's just the media.
Now, no. They were. Mm. They had the best technology. They had the best fucking entertainment. They had everything the best. Disney, come on, bro. Disney World, lahalha.
That was...
think about it in the 80s and the 90s, what the fuck it was. So they always had the best thing. And they were in a certain class on their own. No one was next to them.
Yes, need I remind you of Al-Ghazw al-Fikri narrative? Yes.
There was... I think at that time, the reason they were able to succeed because they had the ability to focus their energies. Oh, communism bad. Let's put all our energies against fighting communism. When you ended up winning that fight, where else are you going to spend your energy?
I completely disagree.
Yeah.
The only thing that's happened is that as media literacy and media access and communication became more equal, we could see the bullshit because it was all like, no offense.
They controlled the narrative.
Yeah. 30 years ago, you didn't have media, you didn't have like television production, you didn't have...
30 years ago, you actually did. CNN just started. So now I get your point.
I'm talking from us.
Yeah.
Our region. We could not compete because they had a head start.
Yeah.
Movies, whatever. Like they could like just by the fact of flooding the market with their values, their culture, whatever, they could dominate. Mm. But now the pendulum is swinging our side. By the idea that we actually see the bullshit that's happening there.
Yeah. Well, again, Al Jazeera, for example, when it first came on here, it was the one that was showing the things that no one else would fucking show you, right?
Mm.
So you got the sense of belief that these people will always tell you the truth. But they came so late to the game that then the industry changed, then we all understood that media is just a fucking game.
Mm.
So they couldn't really push the plot that they wanted to push the way they wanted to push it.
Mm.
Because now we understand what's going on. Before, a journalist was highly respected back in the day. It was something to look up to. Oh, this guy's a journalist. When you talk to Jasmine, when she speaks about journalism and these like old, she gave me a name. I forgot her name. I'm sorry, Jasmine. But when she was telling me, she's like, you know, oh, I went to the same college that she went to. Like you felt the passion that she had.
Mm.
But with today's media, what we see, and we see all these bought off journalists and all this shit. Now, you don't respect journalists in the same exact way you did before.
The standards are no longer there. They're no longer upheld like they once upon
The idea that journalism is a pursuit of objectivity now is kind of a laughing stock. There is no such thing as objectivity.
Everybody has their own facts.
Every journalist, I'm speaking from the Western side of things. Every journalist is basically an activist or has an angle. All the time.
The editor in fucking chief. Let's be very blunt. What's name that dude, that loser in Lebanon who works for the New York Times? I'm sure y'all remember his name. Ben something.
Ben Hubbard.
Yes.
Yes.
You cannot tell me this dick doesn't have an agenda.
Bro, they all do.
I know.
That's the part of the point here. The point.
And
part
all
of the
them, point, they have a. And all of them have a boss that's also giving them a direction.
They're trying to sell. Yeah, that's trying to sell a story in a certain way. Oh, you're telling me that the Qatar World Cup was great? No, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear how people are oppressed. But everybody was having a good time. It was well done. No, but that's not the story.
No. Exactly. The headline has to be a woman in an abaya probably looking sad. She's not looking sad. Photoshop her looking sad.
Every time I see a journalist, a foreign journalist leave the country, I get happy.
Shuf, and I was thinking of it in terms of just going back to the point that once upon a time, you know, when the modern world was coming into place, you know, you had two equal opposite blocks. You had a liberal internationalist block. You had a, you know, socialist communist block, basically. So there was a focus in terms of each block trying to drown out the other block's truth with your own truth.
True.
You know, and for a long time, we ended up with, you know, the liberal block because... You know, as a religious people, as a religious society, we know the idea of atheist communism takeover is not something that we can accept at all. So following that, that's when I feel the liberal international order started losing its focus, because at the end of the day, instead of being able to focus on, you know, fighting something else, it just ended up blowing its own head up, and that had ended up being too big and then falling off the ladder. And we saw that happening the past 10 years.
And they're still fighting to keep that place.
Yeah.
And act like they did nothing wrong.
And that's when the awareness from our end came in. Okay, wait a minute. These guys are just looking out for their own set of values and their own set of point of views. And our values don't necessarily align here. Once upon a time, they aligned because we both agreed on a certain thing. You know, but nowadays we no longer align because obviously you have your own set of priorities.
We saw the hypocrisy.
Yeah, you have your own set of priorities that we know for a fact don't align with ours. You know, you are not looking out for us. You're just looking out for you.
Yeah, I think.
We start taking action to kind of resolve that on our own.
The big wake up call, I think, for a lot of people was Iraq.
Yes.
It was the moment where we saw it like, the emperor has no clothes. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of
it's three things in our region that keeps reminding us
Israel,
these
Palestine,
people are assholes.
Israel, Palestine.
Palestine, Iraq.
Iraq and the Iran
Egypt.
Deal. And for me, it's the Iran deal.
Iran
deal was after that.
Yeah, Egypt was the one that really solidified the thinking. Iraq started it, yes. But what happened in Egypt Palestine and how started, things played Palestine out in Egypt. Palestine was from back in the day.
Yes.
Palestine was the original, was the original sticking point.
Which you see to this day.
Them. Yeah.
Is that anything they tell you, human rights, whatever, but they give free rein to the person they want to give free rein to, do things that they want to do.
They bluntly
on TV killed a reporter and they just put that shit under the rug.
They criminalized being an anti-Semist, but go ahead and be an anti-Islamist, and that's fine because
here's the thing. Like, and you say criminalize being an anti-Semite, but you do not even go into what that even means. Mm. Like in Germany, wearing a Palestinian kufiya gets you in jail.
Walking around with the Palestinian flag in Berlin gets you in jail.
Yes.
Nowadays, same thing in Israel. If you raise the flag in public, that's liable to, it's, what was it? Public disorder. Public, they can get jailed for public disorder, promoting public disorder. You see the levels of fear?
Yeah.
You know, they're criminalizing the words, the symbols, the languages.
That's why there's so much value in how the Middle East is changing today.
True. Bro, just to follow that point, for me, one of the most beautiful things about the World Cup happening in Qatar was that you ended up seeing the Palestinian flag everywhere. Even the teams that won, like even in the stadiums, that's that symbol of you know,
that's us.
Us, exactly, was so prominent that you can drown that out. You know, that just
fight
the narrative.
If we keep uniting, if we go and we build our own EU in the Middle East and we have all the resources, we have everything. If we build our own thing, we don't have to abide by the rules.
We don't need to anymore.
We don't need to. Yes. They need to abide by, look what's happening right now. Like they tried their best, the Democrats, to ruin Saudi.
Failed.
And they failed miserably. And now they're on their fucking knees every single time. Mm-hmm. When is the last time Biden was talking shit?
What, is he still around, Aslan?
I haven't seen Biden in forever talking shit because he can't talk shit no more.
Can he talk, Aslan?
No, there's someone who puts a hand up his ass and just moves around for a little bit.
Too drowsy, my guy.
Yes. Sorry.
Trying to stay up.
But yeah, I think the direction that we move in as a country and as a region, I think that just benefits us more than anything else.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
Inshallah. And that's the trend. That's the trend. Focus on us, building us. For fuck the noise. Forget about that.
Slowly but surely, we as a collective are realizing we can look the entire world in the face and say, no, homie, we're good.
We are good.
Exactly. That's what we were talking about the last episode, our own internet.
Yes.
Where we block it off if we have all the information that we need, of course we would.
And we're getting to that point where we're having our own entertainment, we're having our own tourism, we're having our own...
This actually reminds me of one of the more infuriating moments of whiteness I had seen.
Moments of whiteness.
Yes. Back in the days of super duper COVID.
Yes.
When people were afraid and lockdowns and what have you, there was a U.S. senator or congressman or whatever, like a super white, if we're going to use the terminology. So the super white was talking to the lesser whites about COVID restrictions, and he was listing off research that had informed the decision. He said, "Yeah, we have research from like China, Japan, Sweden, and strangely enough, Saudi Arabia."
Ah, that was in California. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was the governor.
Yeah. Like
Gavin something.
Yeah. Gavin Dickhead or whatever his name is. Like Yanni, like just throwing that out there, like my guy, like do you think we type in the computer by bashing our forehead at the keyboard? Many fa, I mean, why is that? Why do you have to go out of the way and make it seem weird?
Strangely enough.
Mistigalun fiq, number one, mistigalun fiq.
Yeah, no offense.
How do you have technology? You have, you know, cutting edge, you know, digital applications
even,
that are unparalleled
even,
in the world.
Not
how?
Even, not even that. Not even that. It's the thing that, my guy, we have our shit together during COVID. You did not. You started stealing vaccines. We got here and supplied it for free for everyone.
But that doesn't support the narrative that they're the good guys.
But it got worse. Have you all seen what happened with Pfizer lately? We can't talk about it on YouTube or podcast.
Oh, yes. Demonetization.
Yeah, they get demonetized. They're actually, they're going to fucking remove the whole video. Mm. But someone in the R&D department at Pfizer was caught on camera. You see him talking about Big Pharma being Big Pharma. Mm. How about how they want to mutate their own viruses?
Of course they do. So they can sell you more antidotes.
Exactly.
Wow. Exactly. Because we need to fund more research.
Yes.
Because we need to save you.
It's 700. So
this is bro. Don't talk to me like this. Bro. Don't talk to me like this.
He said the breakdown of how they were going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll show you the video later on. But
are we going to have to bleep it?
Yeah, we can't discuss it here.
I need no nightmares. I need no more nightmares, but thank you for giving me more.
Yeah. My guys, it's $700 for an EpiPen.
Yep.
Fucking A, bro.
$700 for an EpiPen. That's a PS5.
Yes.
For something that will keep you alive.
And the money keeps chugging.
Wow. Allah la'ibnana. Allah deem ni'ma alayna ya rab.
Ameen.
Before we go,
ihfazna min shurur al
whites.
Min shurur al nas kulluhum.
Nas kulluhum. What's name? If you are in Jeddah, or if you are someone that can fly down to Jeddah, the Islamic Biennale is happening right now.
Yeah.
And I advise everyone to go.
How was it?
Very much looking forward
to
going.
It's fucking amazing. I went to the opening.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody that was there. Shout out to Galeg, shout out to Sense, shout out to Ismail, shout out to everybody.
Shout out to Dahlia.
Proud Dahlia, especially Dahlia. Man, I'm not going to reveal something here, but shout out to Dahlia. I love you so much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bravo.
Amazing.
Super proud of you.
What's the name? I highly advise that you go. If you guys been to the Biennale in Riyadh, it is nothing compared to what's happening in
Jeddah. So the Biennale in Riyadh was focused on contemporary art. Jeddah is exclusively focused on Islamic art.
I advise everyone to go down and see it. They have programs every single fucking day.
Mm. And it's being held in the Hajj Terminal in Jeddah, which is an award-winning architectural masterpiece.
We went, it was packed as hell, bro.
It's the opening, bro.
No, it was really packed and it was really hot. Jeddah doesn't know what winter is.
Mm. But honestly, this definitely gives me a reason to go to Jeddah.
No, you have to. Anyone that's in Jeddah, you need to go check out the Islamic Biennale.
Inshallah.
It is... It's running. It's one of those moments.
Yeah, yes. It's running for 3 months, I believe, up until Hajj.
Yes,
so,
the Islamic Biennale has the official Pass the Kapsa seal of approval.
I took some pictures and I was started posting. Actually. And then like halfway when I'm posting, I was like, no one's going to understand any of this.
Yeah, you need to, I feel like it's the kind of thing they need to experience
exactly.
In person.
And I just stopped. I was like, you know what? I'm not posting.
And every time I saw somebody post it, I was like, no, I don't want to see this. Like, I'd rather just go there.
You have to go.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Muhammad Chono.
Okay.
Saw Muhammad Chono there, my hero.
Nice.
He, what I love about him, he hates compliments. Okay. My guy.
Okay. Looks familiar to you.
And I came there with full compliments. Yeah. But anyway, Muhammad.
Glad he met you. Yeah,
yeah, he's come back soon. We need to have him on the podcast.
Definitely.
Yeah, we need to. I'm going to say this before he comes. Like, a hero to me. And then, yeah, if y'all don't know who fucking Muhammad Chono is,
to us.
Me and Turks, so fuck these two guys. If you guys don't know who Muhammad Chono is, I advise that you go and research. I think he's one of a kind. I think he's top tier. And to me, he's the GOAT of ours, period. I don't think
our anyone, pride.
No one is doing what he's doing and the way that he's doing it here.
Representing, basically.
Oh, no, more than that. Mm. As just a fucking creative artist. Fucking A, man.
Mm.
I saw some things. Me and Dahlia's mom. Shout out to Dahlia's mom. Anyway, if anyone never met Dahlia's mom or dad, you are missing out.
True.
Okay? They are awesome.
True.
And we sat there, we're looking at one of his pieces. And she was describing what she thinks it is. And her dad is saying, no, it's this. And then daddy is saying no. And I'm sitting there like lost.
Mm.
And then there's a writing on the side of what Muhammad Chono was doing, right? And we were all wrong.
Because I was like, guys, well.
But that was the beauty of it, bro.
Yeah, that's
that was the beauty of it. So it was, okay.
Don't spoil it. Don't
I'm not going to spoil it, okay? Yeah. But it was a light beam with strings coming out of it.
Okay.
And daddy's mom was amazing because it was Islamic Biennale.
Mm.
She was like, it's al-Qibla.
Interesting.
And it's people basically praying toward the Qibla.
Okay.
So that description alone.
That's one perspective. Yeah.
I fucking loved it.
Yeah. Mm.
Like if that was it, I'll be more than happy because it was beautifully done.
Mm.
It was a light noor, you know? Anyway. Shout out to Mohamed Chono. Shout out to Islamic Banali. Shout out to everybody who participated in Islamic Banali. Everyone who put the work together.
Banali Foundation.
It's been very hard for them for the last couple of 6-7 months.
I've been working since.
Yeah. They've been working on it for a minute. So shout out to all of them. We wish you all the best. And I really hope everybody goes and sees it. It's one of those rare moments that we have something so incredible.
Ruh, number one.
Why not?
Yalla.
Mishka, you guys have jobs. If you guys didn't have jobs, you go weekday with
me. Yeah.
We'll figure it out. Anyways.
Any more topics?
Definitely not.
خلاص تري عيال. It'll be a long week. Well, last week was a good week. Last week was a wonderful week. Good start to the year. Alhamdulillah. So far, it's been a very good start to the year.
Thank you for filling the time with useless information.
I'm talking about me, bro. I am happy in my life. Y'all should be happy for me as well. I'm happy for y'all's.
I'm not happy for myself.
I'm happy to see y'all's.
I know we're gonna bounce, and it's stupid of me to ask this question right now.
Mm.
But do you think that we are becoming more selfish as a society? Not as in Arabs, as in humans.
As individuals or as a people?
As individuals.
Yes.
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 As a people.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Like usually, selfishness is usually a bad thing.
True. But you know, although it does come sometimes with good. And when you look out for yourself, when you try to focus the hadith ala nafsak, selfish for yourself.
Kun hadith ala nafsak all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but that's sometimes a good thing.
But you need to also be cooperative with the world.
You should expect the same from the other.
Yeah, there's a difference.
If you're going to be selfish, they're going to be selfish too. If you're going to help people out, they're going to help you out.
One thing I'm coming.
Are you willing to rely on yourself? Or rely on everyone else with you?
One thing I'm coming to see that's maybe trending, maybe this is something I'm noticing, is أول كانت الناس دائما تقدم يعني تقدم whatever the people around them want على هو what he wants. But now I'm seeing شوية shift and okay, as much as I want to try to satisfy what you guys want, I need to also kind of speak up for what I want. Just
the house doors were always open during lunch.
Mm-hmm.
The mic was far away. I don't hear what you said.
And the idea is, you know, once upon a time, I would do what my family wanted because that's what my family wants. But now there's a balance a little bit in being able to kind of put your own desires there and balance them out with what is expected.
Having your own identity is totally different than wanting only things for yourself.
I think the line, the fine rope that we're walking is trying to differentiate between, yo, I got to look out for me and mine first. Versus, screw you, I got mine.
Mm. It's always about me and mine.
No, screw you, I got mine.
No, no. Yeah.
Versus, I gotta look after me and mine.
Yeah, I get it. I don't like the screw you attitude. It's not a good attitude.
Oh, well. Anyway, thank you for joining us.
Kumbaya.
We appreciate every single one of y'all.
Alhamdulillah, salam.
Allah yisallam.
Allah yisallam.
Allah yisallam.
توك جيت من جدة وتوك تفتح السالفة.
I was with you the whole weekend.
It was a great weekend. It was a great weekend, wasn't it?
It was a good weekend.
Yes.
Oh, shout out to
congratulations.
Hussein Al-Royal.
Yes.
Well, yesterday we had a baby reveal, gender reveal.
Yes. Thank you for the
shout out to Ned and Ryan
and Shamsi for
You played the smallest fucking role,
bro,
and you did it wrong.
I know I didn't.
Yes, you did it wrong.
I hyped y'all up.
No, you came in like, learn. Okay, first off, why were you going back and forth when there was Halaba in front of you? You could just sit in the ring and said, hey, welcome.
Shamsi, your first line was welcome to the first annual baby reveal.
Babython.
Yes.
Babython. It's called Bob Babython. Like,
okay.
No pressure.
No pressure. This is the first annual. Yeah.
First annual. One baby every year.
Bro, he actually per gave annum. Up to me. He's like, what the fuck is up with that?
See now what
people
I mean?
Are expecting this. I was like, bro, you don't have to.
See what I mean?
Yeah, we're humans, not rabbits.
Yes.
I mean, and you just get it done for
the well, anyway, shout out to everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate every single one. I don't know how the hell we did an hour. Thank God. I am sick, bro.
Bravo.
Bro, don't have fun. Go away.
القعدة معانا علاج.
يا إلهي.
Bro.
عليك أشكالك.
See how much better he looks now. See how much better he looks now.
It's a مرض هذا. And we out.
Peace.
Bro, how do you even know about that?